coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
Compassion is a critical, critical aspect of living a life of meaning and a critical aspect of our survival as a species.
Hi, everyone. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my new venture and our newest protein powder, the Pegan Shake. One of the best ways to boost your brain power is with the best nutrition. This is why Dr. Mark Hyman and I teamed up to create the perfect shake to start your morning off right and set your brain and body up for vitality and success. The shake is called the Pegan Shake, and it features a combination of grass-fed collagen, organic pumpkin, and organic pea protein powder with healthy fats from MCT oil and avocado oil, which, by the way, are great for fat burning and fueling brain power as well. A little bonus, the Pegan Shake also features organic acacia fiber, which is great for gut motility and digestion. See, this shake was created to support healthy blood sugar and healthy energy levels. In fact, one of the most common reasons for mood imbalances and brain challenges come from unbalanced blood sugar. Have you ever felt anxious, tired, and wired, and then ate something and felt better? Well, when your blood sugar goes through major fluctuations throughout the day, you literally can feel crazy. I know so many people can relate. So the Pegan Shake supports your blood sugar by feeding your body the right information from this perfect combination of macronutrients. I've been using the Pegan Shake for months, and I feel full, satisfied, satiated, focused, and most importantly, I avoid those energy slumps that come in the late afternoon too. I think you're going to love this shake. Dr. Hyman and I teamed up to make it because we literally couldn't find a shake mix that we loved. So we decided to create it ourselves. Check it out at getpharmacy.com/pegan shake. You can find the link in the show notes. That's getpharmacy, pharmacy with an F, pharmacy.com/pegan shake. Now on to today's episode. Hi, everyone. Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. We each possess an extraordinary power to realize our greatest potential and live the life that we were meant to live. My guest on today's mini episode, Dr. James Doty, is living proof of that. Having grown up in an environment of poverty and neglect, Dr. Doty was 12 years old when he walked into a magic shop, yes, a magic shop, and met an extraordinary woman named Ruth, who introduced him to a series of teachings that changed the trajectory of his life. By the way, this is a true story. He overcame the great odds en route to becoming a renowned neurosurgeon, neuroscience, and one of today's leading voices on the power of love and compassion. Dr. Doty is a professor in the Department of Neurosurgery at Stanford University's School of Medicine and the founder and director of the Center of Compassion and Altruism Research and Education at Stanford University. He is a New York Times bestselling author of his story, Into the Magic Shop, A Neurosurgeon's Quest to Discover the Mysteries of the Brain and the Secrets to the Heart. True story. I read the book and totally cried. Doesn't happen often, but it happened with this book. In this episode, we discuss how compassion and social connection have a powerful effect on our health, happiness, and well-being. Dr. Doty also shares a powerful daily practice he created for opening our heart and cultivating compassion for ourselves and others. It's called the Alphabet of the Heart. Let's listen in.
Compassion is a critical, critical aspect of living a life of meaning and a critical aspect of our survival as a species. Many people will quote Darwin and say, you have to be ruthless to survive, but in fact, he really never said that. What he said was, it is the most sympathetic or the most compassionate, if you will, of a species or a species that will survive in the long term. And more recent work by Robert Sapolsky, who is a researcher at Stanford and who's written a number of books, demonstrate that the long-term survival of a species is predicated on nurturing, caring, cooperation, and affiliative behavior. And ruthlessness does allow for short-term gains, but not long-term. And unfortunately, the structure of our society in the West, in the United States, has been focused on this idea of rugged individualism, and especially in Wall Street and other industries, that leadership has to do with being ruthless, and you can't be kind, and you have to take every advantage. And this is just a wrong notion. And you can see the repeated debacles and the greed and the selfishness that occurs that doesn't benefit everyone, but only benefits a small few. And it creates disaster after disaster. And it is not a long-term solution to the survival of our humanity, not only in the United States, but on a global level.
Compassion can often be thought of as a very sort of ethereal thing. You know, you either have it or you don't. And part of what you learned from Ruth is that you can cultivate it inside. Could you just tell us a little bit about the exercise featured in the book and active ways that still today you cultivate compassion in you to get all the benefits, not only for yourself, but for those around you? How do you cultivate it? And could we start off by just describing the trick that you learned from Ruth?
Well, I think that, yes, you can cultivate it. There's no question about that. And through the work that we've done at Stanford, we've actually created a compassion cultivation training program that has now, through multiple scientific studies, demonstrated its power, both in regard to improving one's physiology, but also having a positive impact on the others around them. In fact, a number of spouses of individuals who've taken our program have come and thanked me for that, because it's profoundly impacted their home lives and their interaction with their spouses and their children, in addition to the larger effect on the workplace, et cetera. And we know through science, and like happiness, that there is certainly a genetic component, but we also know that there's a huge environmental component. And what Ruth taught me was, one, to cultivate compassion, you have to be compassionate to yourself. And this whole idea of self-compassion has now been researched extensively by Kristen Neff and others, that demonstrate that the huge, huge, profound positive effect on your physiology of being self-compassionate. And it's only when you're self-compassionate that then you can look at the world through a different lens. And that is a lens of, again, recognizing the suffering of others, but also understanding this concept of common humanity and that everyone is suffering. And it's through the continued practice of this idea, when you look out at others, frankly, the other is you. And when you have the perception that when you're interacting with another person, that is you, it tempers all of your interactions, and it tempers your tendencies or people's tendencies to have negative interactions. So I think that's a very important aspect. People ask me sometimes, what's your own personal practice? And while many years ago, I used to meditate 2 or 3 hours a day, over the last number of years, I've changed that practice. And it's actually now much more simple, but I think it comes with experience and wisdom. And as I mentioned in the book, I was asked to give a talk to students who are about to begin medical school at my alma mater. And not only was this an extraordinary honor to be able to be the person speaking at what was called the white coat ceremony, when the students recite the oath of Hippocrates and receive a white coat as a symbol of their beginning the medical profession. And in that position, I wanted to give them something that was easy to remember and that could give them something easily available to focus their intention on, if you will, being the best person they could be, as well as a good physician. And I reflected for a long time on my own personal journey, and I came up with 10 letters of the alphabet. which is now my practice. And I'll explain that in 1 second. But those 10 letters are C through L. C, compassion for self and others. D, recognizing the dignity of every person. E, practicing equanimity, this evenness of temperament where you recognize that good and bad events are transitory, and that having an evenness of temperament doesn't get you attached or want to escape from a particular environment because everything is transitory. Oftentimes people try to avoid pain and suffering, which of course is not possible always. But oftentimes that pain and suffering gives us some of the wisest lessons we have in life that allows us to actually become a better person. And grasping for accolades or being recognized often is empty and very transitory and doesn't give you anything at the end. So practicing equanimity is very important. And the other aspect is forgiveness. So often we get angry at somebody and we carry this anger and hostility with us in every interaction. And every time we think of that person, it brings up this negative emotional state. And it's not healthy for us and it doesn't take us anywhere. And by being able to forgive another person, it allows you to go forward and it releases you from this negative emotional state. GE in science has shown that practicing gratitude, being thankful for your position. In fact, even being able to listen to this podcast is a recognition that those of us are actually better off already than 90% of people in the world. Remember, 50% of the people in the world live on less than $2.50 a day, which is extraordinary to even process. And then humility. Many people, especially people in professions, carry their egos around and think they're somehow more important than other people. And you have to recognize, like dignity, that we're all equal. I cannot do my job without the people who sweep the floors, who empty the bedpans, the nurses who take care of my patients. They are just as important in my success as I am. And this idea that we are not above another. You see, it's pity when you look down and act like you're doing something for another because it's coming from a superior position or feeling of superiority. It's only when you're equal that you can be authentic, that you can best connect, and that you demonstrate your true humanity. I is for integrity and having a set of values that you live by that bound you in your actions in the everyday world. J is justice or fairness or this concept that we have a responsibility for those who are vulnerable to care for them. And K is kindness, simply the act of caring for another human being without any motivational desire to receive any reward. And of course, all of this is contained by love, which is the greatest of human emotions. So what I do every morning in my own practice is I wake up, sit by the bread, close my eyes, breathe in and out for a few minutes, having awe at just being in this world. And then with intention, I go through every one of those letters and think about that. And that sets my intention for the day and how I interact with the world throughout the day. And I'll close by sharing a very quick story, hopefully not too long. After I wrote the book and it was published, I received an email from a woman, and she said she was the spiritual director. She introduced herself as the spiritual director of the largest homeless shelter in the United States. And she said, "I'm a person of faith. I was completely burned out in my job, and my friends had sent me a variety of scriptures, and nothing impacted me to give me the strength to continue." And she said, "On my last day at work, a friend shared with me your talk, your alphabet of the heart, and that gave me the strength to return to work." Now, how profound. Mm-hmm. I did this. And even now, I feel almost tearful. And so I responded to her, and a month or so later, she sent me another email, and she said, you know, we began using this as a practice within our clients at the homeless shelter, and it's been incredibly powerful. We do it every day. And I sent her another note and responded, and then she sent me another note. She said, you know, I told my friends about this, and she has a daughter named Jenny, and Jenny was 9 at the time. And she said, Jenny makes beads, and on her own, Jenny made a set of beads, wooden beads, each one representing one letter of the alphabet of the heart. And on her own, she added another bead to represent the golden rule. Would you mind if we sold those as a fundraiser? And I was so moved, I said, of course, absolutely. A few months later, she sends me another note. And she says, you know, this is so profound. I made a video. And there's a YouTube video, and you can find it if you look up Google Compassion Bead San Antonio, because it was the homeless shelter there. And it shows this little girl's hands placing these beads while this woman, the Reverend Ann Helmke, narrates. And she talks about how through intention and repetition, we can create or strengthen neural pathways of compassion. And it's a beautiful video. Those are now sold all over the world. And in fact, I carry a set with me. And in fact, I'm holding them in my hand. And I sit by my bed and actually go through each of these beads. And I actually have a set in my pocket at all times. And throughout the day, if I'm stressed or just have a moment to pause, I'll go through the 10 letters, or sometimes I'll just sit with one and think about that. And that sets my intention again. So that's the practice that I use and that carries me in this world.
When we practice self-compassion with intention, it not only changes our physiological stress response, but also creates an environment for others to be their best selves, to be more compassionate, to be more kind. His Holiness the Dalai Lama said, "Love and compassion are necessities. Without them, humanity cannot survive." Thank you for tuning into this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. As always, who's someone you know that would enjoy this episode and hearing about Dr. James Doty's story? Think about one person. Send this episode to them and make their day. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next week. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.